You're listening to This Week in Big Sky Football, a comprehensive look at all this week's action in Big Sky Football. Now here's your host, Scott Girard.
Hey, welcome in. It's another edition of This Weekend. Big Sky as conference play rolls on. And boy, as we hit the second half of the season, all kinds of interesting storylines. Great show lined up for you today. Southern Utah head coach DeMario Warren will join us here in just a moment. Montana State head coach Jeff Choate will join us. And then Weber State safety Juwan Harrison. And in our final segment, we'll wrap things up with Craig Haley from Stats. Let's recap the games from this past weekend. Alex Wesley, 163 receiving yards for Northern Colorado as the Bears fell to Portland State on the road, 35-14. Vikings intercepted three passes, used a balanced offense to get the W. Montana dropped a decision to North Dakota. Final score there, 41-14. Troy Anderson rushed for 159 yards and two scores, passed for 91 in Montana State's victory over Idaho, 24-23. Weber State never trailed as it beat Eastern Washington at home, 14-6 in the marquee matchup of the conference. Wildcats registered two fourth quarter interceptions to hold off the Eagles in the final minutes of the game. Southern Utah scored in every quarter as it beat Sacramento State 48-27 to earn its first win of the season. Jay Green, 107 yards and two scores. UC Davis completed their come from behind win in overtime. They knock off Idaho State 44-37. The win put the Aggies in sole possession in first place at 3-0. So the Big Sky now with three teams ranked in the FCS top 25. You've got Weber State leading the way at 7, followed by Eastern Washington at 8, and UC Davis at number 10. So with that, let's go out to the phone lines. Welcome in DeMario Warren, head coach at Southern Utah. Coach, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for carving out a few moments for us. I know your season didn't start out the way you would have liked, but boy, you had to pack the stands like crazy. You had a sellout crowd of 10,000 on Saturday. How much does that fan support mean to you and your team?
We're really grateful for that. I mean, our community's been behind us for this last run, and we were struggling coming into the season and even struggled in the first quarter. So that fan support meant a ton to me, my coaching staff, our players, to just be able to help us get out the rut that we've been in this season.
Let's talk about that game against Sacramento State. What were the keys to the game in getting that W?
Offensively, they posted a big number. They went out and scored on six drives. Six out of 10 drives, and special teams sparked us with the kickoff return and the turnover. And then defensively, we started getting off the field after the first quarter and just getting stops and getting the ball back for our offense. So it was a full team effort, and it was good to get a win like that after not starting as fast as we wanted to. And so some of our young guys could see that, hey, you can win a game even if things don't go your way.
Jay Green broke the century mark, had two touchdowns. What does he mean to your team?
He's a workhorse. We play a lot of different backs, but he's been a staple of our offense the last 2 years. I think he scored 19 career touchdowns in his two seasons here and has done a great job. So he does a lot of things for us, and he's a huge part of what we do on offense.
You talk about using a bunch of different backs. Are you hoping that somebody separates themselves and be the bell cow, or is this kind of what you anticipate going forward?
Yeah, Coach Waldershot does a great job of using different personnel groupings to highlight the talents of our offensive skill positions. And so we play a lot of backs by design. We play a lot of receivers by design. And Coach Waldershot really does a great job of masterminding the offense and then making sure each guy does what they do well.
How has the adjustment been with a new quarterback and kind of tweaking the offense a little bit?
Yeah, it's been a challenge for our offensive staff. They've done a great job of really. This is their second game in it, and obviously second game went a lot better than game one. And they're starting to learn what they like from Aaron and being able to highlight what he does well and some of the rest of our offense as well. So it's been interesting, but they've changed the offense quite a bit over the last 2 weeks and done a really good job of doing it.
DeMario Warren, head coach at Southern Utah, kind enough to join us here on This Week in Big Sky Football. Tremendous season last year, maybe a little bit backwards this year, but you look to finish strong going into the second half of this season. As your team continue to make improvements week in and week out the way that you would have hoped throughout the course of this year?
We've had some setbacks. Obviously, we didn't go to Eastern and play like we wanted to after a bye week, but I mean, we lose a close game one. We lose a close one on the road at NAU, and we lost to two Pac-12 schools. And so we feel like we're still a good team. We feel like we need to focus on 1 week at a time and kind of just see what happens. I mean, we've we play one of the toughest schedules in the country, and that's no excuses for losing. But we want to finish strong and be one of those top teams in the Big Sky once it's all said and done.
You got a big one against Idaho this weekend. You're on the road. What have you seen out of the Vandals, and what do you expect in this game?
They're a big physical team on offense and defense. They run the ball well on offense. They got a big back and a big offensive line. And defensively, they're a tough up front as well, and they could stop the run. At home, they're doing a great job of playing ball control offense and stopping the run on defense. So they're a solid team, and they're 2-0 at home, and we haven't won on the road. So it's going to be a big challenge for us to get up for a road game and try to go steal one. Out of Idaho.
What's the message to a young team to try to get them to learn what it takes to win on the road?
You got to prepare. You got to prepare. You got to be. You got to bring the energy, because the other crowd ain't gonna cheer you on. So you got to bring energy. You got to be prepared, and you got to stay focused and fight for 60 minutes. And those road games aren't very easy to win. I think I've been here 11 years, and we've had two winning seasons on the road since I've been here. One was last year, so it's not easy. You go on the road with a roster of 60, and the other team's dressing a lot more than you are, and obviously you got to travel, and a lot of things go into winning on the road, and so that's why this champion in the Big Sky is always the team that can figure out how to win on the road, because those games are so hard to win.
Demario, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Head coach at Southern Utah, Demario Warren, right here on This Week in Big Sky Football. Coming up, segment number two, we'll chat with Montana State head coach Jeff Choate right here on This Week in Big Sky Football. CenturyLink Arena plays host to the 2019 Big Sky Men's and Women's Basketball Championships in Boise. Postseason college basketball is back in Boise, and we have your front row seat to the event. The women's tournament will be held March 11th through the 15th, while the men's championship will take place March 13th through the 16th. The wait is over. 22 teams, 20 games, 2 champions. Don't miss your chance to buy tickets for this fun-filled week of basketball. Tickets are on sale now at BigSkyInBoise.com.
Welcome back to This Week in Big Sky Football.
Welcome on back. It's another segment of here on This Week in Big Sky Football. Pluto TV is your leading free internet television service in America. As part of that deal, the Big Sky Conference will air all of its live stream sporting events on Pluto TV for free, including up to 700 football, men's and women's basketball, volleyball, and selected soccer, softball, and track and field events. So simply go to Watch Big Sky on Pluto TV to find the games from several different sports. Excited for our next conversation. Let's go out to Montana State. Welcome in their head coach, Jeff Choate. Coach, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
You had a really interesting non-conference schedule. How did that prepare you for Big Sky play this season?
Well, you know, I thought it was a good balance. I really did. It was an all FCS schedule. Starting next year, we'll be playing an FBS opponent for each of the next 4 years. But, you know, we opened up in our non-conference play, and it was a good test. Western Illinois, really tough Missouri Valley team, returned some really talented offensive personnel, and got them at home, and it was a battle. You know, they had the lead at halftime. We battled back in and ended up winning the game. And then going through South Dakota State, they got after us. We did, you know, I just think that was one mentally, physically, we weren't prepared for exactly what we were getting ourselves into. We played a really close game against them the year before. I think we learned a lot about ourselves in terms of how we need to prepare in order to be competitive, regardless of who the opponent is. And then we had Wagner, NEC team, and we're able to get after them pretty good. So I think it was kind of the kind of balance that I think you really want in a non-conference schedule, where you've got maybe a team that's very, very similar to you in terms of their talent and their skill level, a team that's a little bit better than you perhaps right now in their talent and skill level, and then a team that's maybe a little bit below you. So you really get a chance to kind of measure things out, and we ended up 2-1, and that's probably where we should have been.
Interesting. Now, your team's coming off a victory over Idaho, 24-23. Let's talk about some of the developments that went into that game, getting the W, and how difficult was it preparing for a team in conference that maybe you haven't seen in a while?
Well, we actually played Idaho 2 years ago.
That's right. That's right.
Game and played them in a very tight game in Moscow. And that year they were a 9-win team and beat Colorado State in a bowl game. And so, you know, it's There's so many Montana ties on that Idaho coaching staff. Paul Petrino being a Montana native, I think there's seven or eight guys on that staff that either coached or played at schools in Montana, and several of them are Montana natives. And so I just knew they were going to have a little extra in their tank, after kind of get the bad taste out of their mouth after not really performing very well at Idaho State the previous week. And you could even hear it in Coach Petrino's post-game comments. I mean, you could tell that they had put a lot into this game, and we got their best. And we were down 17-7 in the third quarter, battled back, took the lead. They came down, got a score, missed the extra point, tried the onside kick, and we just needed one first down to seal the victory, and we were able to do that. So it was a hard-fought game, blustery day here in Bozeman, and I thought it was a really competitive contest.
What's it mean for your team to win kind of those types of games where maybe, the conditions aren't great, you're facing some adversity, you got to come from behind? What's that like, and what does that mean to your team?
I think it's just, it speaks to their grit and their character. And we've been in a lot of tight games. We really have. And unfortunately, we didn't win a lot for the first 2 years. We lost a number of 1-, 2-, and 3-point games. And this year, we've been able to win a couple of those. And, who we are right now, we've gotten beat pretty soundly by, at the time, the number 2 and 4 teams in the country, against Idaho and Western Illinois. We won tight games, and then we were able to take care of a couple teams. And so, I think there's a lot of growth left within our team down the stretch in these 5 games, and that's the objective, just to improve every week. And we're going to have to play really good football this week to be able to go down and knock off Weber State.
Yeah, speaking of that, you're on the road. You're heading to Ogden to take on Weber State. One thing about the Wildcats, they do such a good job enforcing turnovers. What have you seen out of Weber State in film that's allowed them to have some success early in the early part of this season?
Well, I mean, they're fast and physical on defense. They affect the quarterback, whether it's bringing pressure or just winning one-on-one matchups with their defensive line up front. And I think a lot of when you got 9 interceptions and 11 fumbles recovered, that's you're attacking the ball, whether it's in the air or whether it's in the quarterback's hands or the tailback's hands. I mean, those guys run to the ball really well. There's never just one individual that's making that happen. There, a lot of the interceptions are forced by pressure on the quarterback.
Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate your time. Good luck this weekend. Look forward to catching up again here very soon.
All right, thanks.
You got it. Montana State head coach Jeff Choate. Bobcats playing Weber State this Saturday at 4 o'clock Mountain Time in Ogden. Should be a tremendous game between those two teams. Take a break. Come back. You'll hear from Juwan Harrison. Speaking of Weber State, he'll joining us on our next segment. We'll also announce our Root Sports Players of the Week. It's all straight ahead right here on This Week in Big Sky Football. Pluto TV is your one-stop shop for Big Sky action. The leading free internet television service in America will stream live sporting events, including up to 700 football, men's and women's basketball, volleyball, and selected soccer, softball, and track and field events. Simply go to Pluto TV to find games from several different sports. Pluto TV is your one-stop shop for all Big Sky action.
Welcome back to This Week in Big Sky Football.
Welcome back. It's another edition of This Week in Big Sky Football. I'm Scott Girard. Time to announce your Root Sports Players of the Week. Let's start on the offensive side. UC Davis quarterback Jake Mayer was named the Offensive Player of the Week. Led the charge in UC Davis come-from-behind victory over Idaho State to claim the top spot in the Big Sky. 40 of 51 passing for 382 yards, threw for 5 touchdowns, and connected with 5 different receivers. UC Davis, again, knocked off Idaho State in overtime, 44-37. Roldan Alcabendez averaged 60.3 yards on 7 punts in Eastern Washington's game against Weber State. He's your special teams player of the week. Registered a school record 78-yard punt, added a 72-yarder in the third. Also recorded punts of 63 and 60. Kicked a 31-yard field goal in the second quarter and a 27-yarder in the third quarter. He's now a perfect 9 for 9 on the season. And Weber State's Juwan Harrison helped Weber State to a win over third-ranked Eastern Washington to earn the Root Sports Defensive Player of the Week. Tallied 9 tackles, 1.5 TFLs, also picked off an Eagle pass in the end zone in the fourth quarter to stop an Eagle scoring drive. Weber State held Eastern Washington without a touchdown for the first time since 2008. And with that, let's welcome in your Defensive Player of the Week, Weber State's Juwan Harrison. Juwan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. You got to be doing flying pretty high after that win against Eastern, holding them without a touchdown for the first time in 10 years. Obviously, they're a high-powered offense. What was the game plan going in?
To start, we knew they was running the ball better this year, and so that was our first goal, is to stop the run. We wanted to keep them under 100 yards rushing this week, and we wanted to glove up the receivers. We knew we had a tough matchup coming in with Timber Webster, so we knew we had to stop him. And that's what we focused on all throughout the week.
Sounds like from a physical standpoint, you wanted to really, you wanted to get physical with Eastern Washington, and it sounds like you were able to do that.
Yeah, our coach told us before the game, this is a team with a lot of speed, and if we let them, they'll make it into a track meet. So we had to be physical from the jump. So that's why we tried to get our hands on receivers and make sure we stop the run so we don't let those guys show off their speed and their talent.
When you look at let's go through that last interception. Eastern Washington's driving. They're trying to take the lead. You come up with that big interception to thwart that scoring drive. Take us through that play.
So actually before the time, it was a timeout before that play happened, and our coaches kept on telling us, watch the run here, watch the run. So it was four down territory, obviously, being 14-6 at the time. And so they actually did a play action, and I bid on it a bit. And from there, as I looked into the backfield, I read the quarterback's eyes. Because I was supposed to be helping to my right, to the number one receiver, to my right. But I just followed the quarterback eyes, and I seen Simba coming across like on an over route, and I knew that was his main target. So I thought I should jump on top of Simba and go get the ball.
Love it. Let's talk about that homecoming crowd and that atmosphere. What was it like playing in front of those fans in Ogden for that game?
It's good every time we get to play in front of our fans. They have a playoff atmosphere each week. It was homecoming too, so we were geeked for that, and the fans was also geeked for that, and we couldn't let them down on our homecoming. And that's what we tried to do best, is go get a win.
So just announced
that it helped us very much. It was very loud.
Yeah, I bet. So we just announced that it was that you were named the defensive player of the week. What does it mean to you personally to pick up an honor? And what was it like when you got that phone call that you were named the Big Sky defensive player of the week?
It was a big honor. Last time I won it, probably like 2 years ago, I was a sophomore, and it was a big honor to get it again. I know my linebacker, Landon Stice, he had got it earlier this year. And we just try to compete every week as a defense, each player to be the best player on the field. Each player to be the best player that they can be. And I just happen to be one of the most dominant ones that week. But I do credit everybody else on my defense, especially the D-line. D-line was getting a solid push. We came away with four sacks, I believe. And they helped us tremendously stopping the run and getting pressure on the quarterback. So we could only allow, I believe it was like 4.5 yards per catch. So I do credit the defensive line a lot.
No doubt. It seems like Weber State's just pumping out all kinds of great defensive players. Taron Johnson, who's now in the NFL and doing great work there. It just feels like there's a culture of really strong defensive presence coming from Jay Hill and that crew. What's it like to be part of that culture that if you're at Weber State, you're playing great defense?
Yeah, Coach Hill is a fantastic coach. And Taron Johnson, he moved on to the NFL. We also lost here. In my opinion, he was like the MVP of the defense last year. And years before that, we had a great player in Trayvon Johnson as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Hill, he learned a lot coaching down there at Utah under Whittingham and Urban Meyer and he, you know, took some of their defensive philosophy and added his own type of defensive philosophy to where each week he has a fantastic game plan for us to go out and stop whatever we have to stop. We do a lot of drills to where we have to strain and make sure we're running to the ball, and it for sure translates to when we were playing on Saturdays.
Got a big one against Montana State. What's it like playing the Bobcats?
This week we know their quarterback is coming in very run heavy, and he's a big boy. We know that their offensive line has been doing pretty good. So our focus again this week is to be as physical as we can and stop the run. Montana State always give us a tough battle every single year. They're one of the more physical teams we play, and we can't let them out-physical us.
Well, big one coming up Saturday at 4 o'clock at Stewart Stadium. Should be a fun one. Juwan, thanks for your time. We appreciate it, and good luck on Saturday.
I appreciate it. So have a nice day.
You too. Boy, I tell you what, great player, great young man is your defensive player of the week in the Big Sky, Juwan Harrison, after that big win Weber State had against Eastern Washington. We'll talk about that game as well as other big matchups around the Big Sky and preview next week's action as we chat with Craig Haley from Stats. Coming up next, we'll also let you know where you can find all the games on Pluto TV this weekend. You're listening to another edition of This Week in Big Sky Football. The 2019 Big Sky Men's and Women's Basketball Championships are headed to Boise. Buy your tickets now for a fun-filled week with basketball for all to enjoy. Purchase your tickets today by visiting BigSkyInBoise.com. That's BigSkyInBoise.com.
Welcome back to This Week in Big Sky Football.
Welcome back. It's your final segment here on This Week in Big Sky Football. Remember, the action continues with the 11 Sports Game of the Week. Northern Arizona visits Northern Colorado. Noon Mountain kickoff for that one. The Root Sports Game of the Week will feature Montana State at Weber State. That game will kick off at 4 o'clock Mountain Time in Ogden. The rest of the games this weekend can be found on Pluto TV. Real simple. Just download the app on your smartphone, tablet, or TV. Southern Utah will be at Idaho. That game, a 2 o'clock Pacific kickoff. UC Davis will take on Cal Poly at 4 o'clock Pacific. North Dakota will be at Sacramento State. That game kicks off at 6 o'clock Pacific. And Idaho State will play at Liberty in a non-conference game on ESPN3. That game will kick off at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Crazy weekend in Big Sky Football. To help recap it all and look ahead to this week's games, he's the FCS senior editor of Stats and an overall good guy, Craig Haley. Craig, how you doing?
Chaos. It's chaos, Scott. I'm doing well.
It is anarchy, chaos. It's you know, there's every week or there's a weekend every year where somebody just throws a big wrench in the machine of Big Sky Football, and this last weekend was probably it. So let's talk about it. First off, Weber State not only beating Eastern Washington but holding them without a touchdown for the first time in 10 years. What were your thoughts on that one?
Well, I mean, in the fourth quarter, I sat there and wondered when was the last time Eastern went without scoring a touchdown in a game, and it turned out to be 10 years ago. I just think it was the kind of game Weber State wanted, you know, physical, you know, low scoring, maybe a little ugly at times with some turnovers. You know, they avoided the end-to-end action in a year where, you know, when their offense hasn't quite been rolling. So, you know, being at home, Weber needed this game. You know, it was certainly shocking to hold Eastern Washington without a touchdown, but at the same time, they needed this game more than Eastern Washington.
You know, we talked to Juwan Harrison just moments ago on the show, and he mentioned that, you know, the game plan was to be really physical with those receivers, stop the run, and I know that's easier said than done, but the fact that Weber State's got the personnel to be able to do it, and I know Weber was coming off the loss the week before, but how much does that change your opinion of the Wildcats based on rankings and their potential come playoff time?
Hey, and how clutch was Juwan there,
yeah,
at the end?
For sure.
It was very impressive. I mean, to, you know, to keep Eastern under 50% in passing is just tremendous. You're not going to see that too often. I do think, you know, it's a huge win for Weber. And at the same time, you know, their schedule is still very tough going forward. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it really puts them in a good place for the playoffs. But, you know, they do have to take this week by week because, you know, each week seems like they're playing somebody good.
Well, not just this conference. You can beat, you know, anybody can beat anybody, and anybody can lose to anybody, too. It seems like it's one of those years. Let's talk about Montana. Tripped up on the road to North Dakota. It's their second league loss. How nervous should Grizz fans be right now?
Well, Grizz fans should be, you know, quite nervous. I mean, I wrote last week that two straight losses would have them reaching for the panic button this week because this bye this week gives them 2 weeks to worry about their team. And it's a tough schedule that they have remaining. I mean, they're 4-3. You know, getting to 7-4 last year wasn't enough for a bid. Asking for four wins to get to 8-3 is asking a lot. Obviously, it would solve everything and get them in the playoffs. I just think, yes, there's a lot of stress there in Missoula this week because they're up against it with the schedule they have and knowing what they need in a deep year in the league.
Tell you what, if you were to write a script for a football movie, you'd have a hard time even coming up with a better game than what we saw with UC Davis over Idaho State in overtime. Talk us through that game, and how impressed were you with UC Davis able to come from behind and get that W?
You're right. I mean, what a game. It was the right one for such a banner crowd. You know, for a while there, it looked like Idaho State would put the win away. We've talked before that Coach Hawkins' calm demeanor has had a great impact on UC Davis, and they trailed for most of the game, but somehow they stayed calm. They were able to visualize, you know, coming back and still pulling out the win. I mean, as long as you're, you know, within the right amount and can get those two-point conversions like they did, I just think it's a huge win for them because they've built quite a resume, and obviously they're in first place now. You know, you don't want to get looking ahead because they do have some tough games too, but, man, they're now in position to maybe get a playoff seed.
Mm. Let's talk about the fact that the Big Sky now has three teams ranked in the top 10 for the first time since 2015. You talked a little bit about UC Davis. Let's talk about the other two teams and their resumes. Just how strong are they looking at this point?
Sure, and I think you can mix up, you know, UC Davis, Weber, and Eastern Washington in any order because they're that close. You know, I don't know if Eastern would lose to Weber State if Gage Gubrud is healthy and playing in that game. But football is, you know, next man up, and that was the situation they needed to overcome. You know, I do think all three teams are in contention for the conference title and the playoff bids, obviously. You know, Weber, as we mentioned, still has the toughest schedule. But still, when you look at what all three have left, you do have to start to worry a little bit about the grind of the conference catching up because it can catch anybody because, yes, you know, anybody seems to be able to knock each other off because even some of the teams in the second tier have shown they can, you know, play tough against good teams, even pick off a top team.
Mm. Let's talk about the top 25. North Dakota State, they're the clear front runner now that James Madison has struggled with a couple losses?
Certainly. I mean, I think North Dakota State is the best team, and they're on a mission because they're seeking that seventh FCS title, which would be the record. You know, but the playoffs also are one and done, so, you know, the Bison can be upset. I mean, I do think James Madison is one of the chief threats. I mean, one of their losses is to an FBS team, and it's a quality loss, NC State. You know, I think South Dakota State's the other one you put in there with JMU having the best chance to beat North Dakota State. But at the same time, there are teams, you know, in a one-and-done, you know, an Eastern Washington with a Gubrud, you know, Kennesaw State with its triple option. You know, this week, Illinois State takes their shot at North Dakota State. You have to give some of these teams a chance, but overall, we're only talking maybe, you know, five, six teams that can maybe beat the Bison in the playoffs if they have to go to the Fargo Dome.
Always love catching up with you, Craig. Appreciate your time, and let's do it again next week.
Sure. Thank you, Scott.
You got it, Craig Haley. That'll do it for us here on This Week in Big Sky Football. Big thanks to everyone who helps put it together. Lloyd Cole, who mixes the whole thing, and executive producer Denise Thompson. I'm Scott Girard. Enjoy the games this week. Be back with you for another edition of This Week in Big Sky Football.